Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with the Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friend's music record shop. Go check them out, 4191A Manchester Avenue in the heart of the Grove, right between the demo and the ready room. Check them out every Friday, they got new music happy hour. This Friday, new records from Ben Folds, Destroyer, Beirut, and Gary Clark Jr. They do live in-store performances on Saturdays. Next one is The Company She Keeps, presented by Four Hands Brewery and Gramophone. Check them out Saturday, September 19th, 2 to 4. The Company She Keeps will live in-store performance. Go online, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock. Podcast, y'all.
Hi, this is Hannah Aldridge, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, episode 115. Hanging out in St. Louis with Hannah Aldridge. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I you know, this is really exciting for me. I've been looking forward to this for a while. Doug shared one of your videos for Parchment, and I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. And then I went and I started listening to your record, Razor Wire, and I really like everything on there. I like your sound, your style, and I just love getting to hear new music too, and so it's always like something exciting to, because you never know, you know, you hit play or put in the CD or drop the needle on the record, and you never know what you're gonna get.
Right.
Until.
Yeah.
So getting to listen to all that, I was just very impressed, and I was really excited to come get to meet you tonight.
Well, thank you very much. I always enjoy being here. This is one of my favorite cities to play. So,
yeah. Now, you're in town for a house show this evening.
I am, yeah.
Those are pretty cool.
They are, yeah. They're one of my favorite types of shows to play, because it's, you know, it's very intimate and very laid back, typically all the people there are really excited to see you play, which is the audience you want to play for. So, yeah, you know, that's one of my preferred ways of playing. And unfortunately, I don't get to do as many of them as I'd like to. But house concerts and theaters are my two kind of favorite atmospheres, because they both are very people are very polite and respectful. And
definitely. Yeah. I'm not, you know, all these... a house show, you might not have huge numbers, but it's one of those quality over quantity kind of deal.
Yeah,
people are very into what you're doing there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it really is a much different environment than playing just a regular show somewhere. You know, it's definitely, you're not battling the people that don't really want to be there, or just happen to come in, or, you know, they're there with a friend that brought them or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? So actually, large numbers of people, that's never really appealed to me, playing for huge crowds. It's a little intimidating, and it's very non-personal, you know, it's impersonal feeling, and it's hard to connect with each and every person. But at a house concert, you can literally meet and get the first name of every person that was sitting there watching you play. So
yeah, it's do you know Kevin Gordon?
I don't know.
He's out of Nashville also, which, I mean, there's a lot of people in Nashville, but he's a singer songwriter as well, and I don't even remember how I got introduced to his music, but he came through town and did a house show a while back, and that was my first experience with it. I think I followed him on Facebook, and then kicked up on Bands in Town, and it said, you know, this place, and I didn't realize that it wasn't a venue, and I got to looking, and I found out it was actually their home. They just have like a name for their home show, and so anyway, I emailed them. I'm like, hey, is there any way I can get to go to the show? And they're like, yeah, of course. So anyway, But I went there, met the couple that owns the home, and then and there was like a kind of a bring a dish kind of deal.
And it's like a potluck. That's how it usually is. It's just pretty quaint.
It was very cool. Like just to, it was my first experience with it, but just to get to meet a lot of really neat people and hang out with Kevin and have some good food. And it was
really neat. It's a neat way to see an artist if you really like them. I do a lot of them over in Europe, and those are. Over there it's a little more daunting because they do tend to be a little more crowded, and I guess it is harder to have cutoff numbers for it, but it's also, you know, a really fun way to really get to meet people. You know, a lot of times you'll have people that'll drive from hours away to come and see you play and stuff like those, So, it's definitely fun, and I know that's kind of the general consensus with all of the musicians that I know is that they, you know, like doing those a lot for that reason. So.
Sure, yeah. So how long have you been in Nashville?
Actually, I've been in Nashville about 12 years. Yeah, I've lived there for quite a while. In fact, I've lived there longer than I've been doing music.
Okay, yeah. I got a few friends down there trying to... you know, make a name for themselves. They, a lot of, like I said, I'm big into singer-songwriters. Yeah. I got a couple of buddies. I got a friend, Zach Logan, does a lot of stuff down there.
Cool.
And, but yeah, just, Dean Meadows, another one.
Nice.
But yeah, just, it's really fun to watch them, you know, do their thing down there, just working, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely, Nashville is growing by leaps and bounds every day. It's gotten to the point where there's so many people there, the chances of me knowing somebody that the name gets thrown out is zero.
Yeah,
which it used to not be that way. It used to be that you could go, oh, yeah, I think I know them. But now there's just so many people that it's just, it's wild. I mean, it really is, and it just gets bigger every day, and it really is starting to become like L.A., where it's just a sea of...
Oh yeah,
of musicians, which is good and bad. I guess it's got its good and bad qualities. So
yeah. I think there can be some oversaturation and stuff, but I think it's also a good way to co-write and or you know, be inspired by others. You know, just creativity, inspiring other creativity, and
sure. Yeah, I think it certainly raises the bar of what is expected and what level of professionalism you have to have. I mean, you know, when you're in that kind of environment where it's very dog eat dog, you know, you have to hustle. You can't, I mean, the slackers just fall off real quick. That mentality of I'm going to go with $5 to Nashville and an old beat up guitar and be an alcoholic and write and, you know, pass out in the back alley of the Ryman. That doesn't happen really anymore. I mean, people are so, driven and so business minded, and especially because of the way that the music industry has changed, where you are your own manager and you are the boss and you are the creative director and A&R and the money, you know, it's all of those things, you know, it takes a special kind of person to really be able to manage all of that, you know, and take themselves independently all the way to the top, and Nashville will eat you alive if you're not careful. But if you know what you're getting into and you learn how to manage it yourself and what works for you, for me, what works for me is being on tour, because I don't like being in the middle of it all the time. You know, it's too much for me. I don't want to go, you know, have a cup of coffee and listen to everyone talk about the new record that they're making. You know, it's the same in LA too. For me, it's the same. I'm like, oh God, I just don't even care about the movie that you're filming right now. Yeah. I'm trying to eat lunch, you know. And but that's me, and I found that touring has been, you know, the biggest asset that I have, you know, in terms of experience, and what's really helped propel me is hitting the road. You know, some people, they're really good at the socializing aspect of it and going out and seeing shows and meeting people, and there's really something to be said for that. But I'm not one of those people. If I had to do it that way, I would never get anywhere, because I'm just not good at that. And some people are, and that's a talent in and of itself too. But that works too. You know, I just think you got to kind of custom build your, you know, business plan in Nashville. So
I think that's kind of how I am. Like you kind of described who you described. That's because for me, I go to a ton of different shows. I go to a lot of, you know, almost every night of the week I go to watch live music or do this show. But I'm always out meeting people. But it's very easy for me to get to talking to new people.
Right.
And meeting, you know, especially when we're at a show where you're, you know, we have some similar interests because we're at the same show.
Right, yeah.
But I'm always getting to, and then of course, you know, you go to the next show and you see the same people.
Right.
And stuff you start.
Yeah.
So.
You know, I think that's a really good thing to be able to do. And I envy people a lot like that in a way, because I definitely feel like I've had to kind of bully my way into being in the social groups because I don't go out and hang out with them. It's kind of by default at some point you're lumped in with these people because you end up being on the bill or you know, and then you become friends with them when you sit for 10 hours in a car with them or whatever, right. You know, so, or, you know, 100 hours in the car, depending on who you're with. But, you know, then you make really good dear friends on the road, but it is really hard because you're all like stray bullets just kind of going different directions. And, you know, there's competition between each other and all these things. So I just find that calling Nashville my home due to the convenience of its location on a map and, and obviously the convenience of having, you know, a writing space and things like that. That's why I like Nashville. I don't like Nashville for the idea of I'm going to work my way to the top in Nashville. Mm-hmm. I have found that pretty much I've gotten nothing but resistance from people in Nashville. So I personally haven't found it to be a real big asset to be there, aside from the fact that it's a great location in terms of interstates.
Yeah,
and there's an international airport.
Yeah.
And a lot of my friends live there, you know. And beyond that, you know, it's a city for me. It's a place to live and a place to sleep when I'm not on the road. And, you know, it works for me.
I say that to a lot of my friends. You know, they all, if they're in music and they talk about going to the coast and stuff, and it's like, well, St. Louis is a great place to tour out of because you're very centrally located.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, if you're looking to tour, you can, you know, anywhere you go, it's not too far away.
Sure. So. Yeah, I could totally see that. I mean, the way that things are these days with social media and the internet and all that, it doesn't matter where you live.
Yeah.
You can live literally anywhere in the on the planet. And really, the people who are touring, you know, and that's the approach, the school of thought that they have, which I'm one of those people that my school of thought is that you have to tour if you anticipate on being successful. Some other people wait for a record label to pick them up and then they tour, but I believe that you have to tour to be successful first. And if that's your mentality, then aside from the fact of having kids or a husband or wife, most of the bands that you see are living out of their van.
Definitely.
You know, they're not really living in Nashville anyways. They may say they're from Nashville, but, you know, half of them barely even have a bed in Nashville.
Yeah.
You know, so it is what it is with that kind of stuff. I don't find that, you know, I split time between Muscle Shoals, which is where I grew up, Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and Nashville, and two totally different environments, but you have the same feeling either way of like, man, I got to get out and tour and play for other people, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that's important to the creative process for me is to be on the road. So,
speaking of playing, you wanna play one now?
Yeah, let's play one. Let's see. I'll do. You know what? I'll do Razor Wire, which is the title track off of that record that we talked about.
Yeah.
This is the first record I released, and it's one that I released back in May of last year. And now I'm working on a new record, but this was kind of the centerpiece of that one. Well rehearsed from stance.
saying that was your that's your first guitar you.
This is my first guitar. Yeah, this is the one I learned on.
Yeah, I got to hang out with local guy here in St. Louis, Jeremiah Johnson.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I looked at your dates. You're going to Terre Haute.
Yes.
On tomorrow. Saturday. Yeah, and he'll also be over there. So if you
Nice, is that for the Blues Festival as well?
So
well,
I'll
have to check him out.
Yeah, if you're free at the time, I don't know what time you're playing or if it works out, but keep an eye out for him. He's amazing. He's one of my favorites to watch in town. He's just blowing up right now. He's been out hustling, trying. He didn't bounce around St. Louis a lot playing, and then now he's working the road a whole lot more. He's doing like 250 dates a year on the road. And,
yeah, that is working the road. Wow.
And he, and his latest album was produced by Devin Allman.
Nice.
So that helps having an Allman helping you out. But yeah,
I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely. That sounds great. I'm going to have to definitely check him out. Sure.
But we got to talking, and he was telling me, you know, he had his first guitar there, and then like but the same kind of thing. He doesn't take it out much and play with it alive, but and then he said he had I forget what type of guitar it was, but he had another one he played with on the show, and he was saying how it was just a cheap one that he said he could take it out to a bar gig, and if he had to smash it over somebody's head or something, he wouldn't be.
You know, it's funny. Mine's the opposite of that. My first, you know, most people's first guitars are awful. You know, they're just awful guitars. But I was lucky that I have a dad that's a musician and was able to help me find this guitar. And it's funny, this is a Martin, and this guitar now, I mean, aside from the fact that I've completely beat it up, it would be, you know, maybe worth $1,000 or something like that. But I got this guitar. I met up with this guy in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'd never played a guitar, really. I mean, I took a songwriting class in school, and long story short, you know, I discovered that I was going to have to actually, like, write songs for this class. And so I said, oh my gosh, I need a guitar, Dad. And so he found this guitar for me. He said, go meet this guy in Chattanooga. He's got this guitar that's a steal. And I was like, okay. And so I met this guy off of Craigslist, and this guy shows up with this guitar and the case and everything in his hand, and he hands it to me, and it's still got the plastic on the pick guard and everything, and he said, and it's, you know, got electronics and everything, and he said I bought this guitar to play in church, and I never played it. And I said, well, how much do you want for it? And he said, $300. And I said, sold. Let's do that.
Yeah.
You know, the case is worth about $300 probably. And I thought, well, you know, I lucked out on that. I was able to find something that was a good price, and then it ended up that the dang thing sounds really good too.
Yeah.
And beyond that, you know, it's just got some sort of mojo to it. That I bought this really great J45 recently. It was a custom. I told myself if I charted my record that I was going to buy a new guitar for myself, and I did, and I haven't written a single song. Not a single song. I'm like, crap, you know. Yeah. Now I've gone and spent all this money on a nice guitar, and I can't even write on it. I'm still writing on the $300 one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just, you know, that's one of those things that is just, it's very sentimental, you know, the very first songs you ever write, and so this guitar will always be really special for me. You know, it's not worth a whole lot of money probably, especially compared to what some people's guitars are, but this is worth more than, you know, anyone could pay
for sure
to me. So
yeah, what I was gonna ask, like, just be, like I said, being a fan of singer-songwriters myself, and but like, what would you give like as advice for an aspiring somebody?
Well, you know, the very first piece of advice that I would give is don't do it. I'm just kidding. No, what I would say is that there is no right way to do things. Come up with a game plan and do that. Don't listen too much to what other people tell you, because most of the stuff that people tell me is just crap. It's not true at all. And even wise people in the music industry, they don't know what they're talking about either, because the music industry changes so much. I get asked a lot if people should go to school for music, and because I did, and I would say that if you already own a guitar and you're already playing music, absolutely not. you know, because you can learn about that on your own. For me, it was vital that I went to school because I had never played a song before until then. I had never written one, and it gave me an opportunity to do that. But for most people, I wouldn't say that. And the other thing I would say is that, you know, there are three things in my mind that are the most vital thing about being a successful musician, but not only a successful musician, really a successful person, human being, right. Is that you show up on time for your shows and that you show up sober for your shows. Those two things right there will put you in front of like 100,000 other people. And also that you, you know, you tour, because I think that that's important. A lot of people kind of shy away from it because they are not making a lot of money, and it is hard. You have to figure out, how do I make money? How do I keep a roof over my head if I'm not making money playing shows initially? You're going to lose a lot of money at first, but that's what it takes. It's like any other business. You have to invest money into it. And whether that means, I mean, I have this friend that delivers pizzas on the side from being in this incredible band. And I'm like, you know what? And 99% of the people in Nashville are working at a bar or working as a barista when they come home from their ramen gig. Really. I mean, that's the way that it is. People are not just playing down on Lower Broadway and making it work, you know? Yeah. So you got to be prepared for that. You got to be prepared that it's going to be way harder than you think it will be. But if you make a game plan, stick to the game plan and include touring in that game plan, because it's important. I truly believe there's not that aspect of getting some big record label phone call, because I've never had that happen. The only ways that I've ever had any opportunities is just busting my butt, you know, and that's been... I've created opportunities for myself, and there's too many good people in Nashville just sitting around playing songs, hoping somebody will knock on their door and say, "I heard you playing that song. Yeah. It's really good," you know. So, I mean, brace yourself and know that it's, you know, not about being the best musician, whether that's good or bad. Right. It's the truth. It's not always about being better than everyone else. It's about working harder. And then if you have talent behind that too, that doesn't hurt either. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I mean, it just really depends on the person and what you're trying to go for. Sure. If you're trying to be a staff writer, I did that for a little while, and that's a different path. And or if you're trying to be a rock star, if you're trying to be in the pop music industry or whatever, it's all a totally different path. And it's frustrating because you look at people's biographies and you see how they made it, and it's different every time. And what you learn is that it's got to be your own path. You got to do it however it's meant to be for you, you know, not try to follow some other person's, well, this person made it that way or this person made it that way. It probably isn't going to work for you that way, you know? So, that's the thing, is just to brace yourself for it. And if you can outlast everybody else, then you will, and stay sober and be on time. So, those, and you know what, actually that part about being on time and staying sober is something that I've heard a lot in the music industry, and I was like, well, yeah, I mean, you have to do that at every job. But like, that's one of those things in the music industry that people just totally don't think that it applies to them or something, you know. It's like they can just act like drunken idiots and that they're gonna get called back for a gig, and it doesn't work that way, you know. So it's that part of it's real important. So as you can imagine.
Sure. Yeah. So. Well, you want to play one more?
Yeah. I'll play you the first song I wrote for the new album. I just cut this one for the new record, and it's definitely got a more rock feel to it. Okay. You know, I was trying to figure out, you know, what do you write after Razor Wire? And so what I came up with was the word aftermath, because I kept thinking, you know, it's kind of like being in the aftermath of this horrible breakup record, you know. And so I wrote a song called Aftermath, and it was kind of what would I say to the person after this whole record, you know. So...
So do we have any expected release or anything?
Well, I would say I hope late spring, early summer. That's okay. Kind of what I'm hoping. I've started working on it, and I still don't have all the details squared away of all of it. But yeah, so I'm hoping. I think it's safe to say it'll be out by early summer. So
very cool.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out for sure.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I will. I'll let you get out of here. This has been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Facebook, Twitter,
yes,
Instagram,
I've got all of that stuff. I'm hard to not find.
Right.
I'm Hannah HANNAH with an H on the end. C Aldridge on most things, and let's see, one thing that I'm not, Hannah C. Aldridge. I can't remember which one it is, though. Most of them are Hannah C. Right. the Facebook is Hannah Aldridge Official is my fan page. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. And go pick up a copy of Razor Wire, available everywhere. So, all right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.